Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Wintertime brings its own things that you need to think of when it comes to safety for your children. My guest is one of our favorite guests here on Healthy Children, Dr. David Hill. He's Vice President of Cape Fear Pediatrics in Wilmington, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hill. Winter safety. There's some wicked weather going on around the country. And do our kids just sit inside and play video games, or do we get them out in it, and what do we do to protect them?
You know, that was a setup, because you know my answer is not going to be stay inside and play video games, right? I mean, no way. We can't have that. You know me better. No, let's get outside. Absolutely. But, of course, we got to do it safely, correct? So we just had this horrendous cold snap. It went through North Carolina, where I live, and like many people, we saw some record cold temperatures. And down here, we don't always have that much practice in dealing with cold temperatures, right? It surprised some people. And even people who normally live in cold temperatures were like, wow, that is just really extra cold. So layers, right? Layers, layers, layers. And the nice thing about layers is when kids start to get overheated, they can take them off as well. At the same time, you want to monitor how long your kids are outside for. Even with enough layers, things like noses and ears and fingers and toes are given to frostbite, right? Even when you got them bundled up well. So still get them in regularly, see how everything's going, check on those little fingers and toes, and if they need a little time to warm up, they can still do it without a video game, but maybe with some hot cocoa.
What do you do if you notice that white patch? Now, I noticed this a couple of times on my daughter when she came in from playing during that cold snap, and here in Chicago it was pretty wicked, but she still wanted to go out, and after 20 minutes she'd come in and there was white blotches on her face. Is that frostbite, and what are you supposed to do about those?
Well, it depends on what you're looking at. If it's just a place where there's a little less blood flow, you know, that doesn't bother me as much. I'd be looking at the most exposed areas, but if you do suspect frostbite, you start with really gentle warming. So, you know, you start with your breath or your hands. Don't rub, however, because frostbite is really sort of a burn injury, and you wouldn't want to rub that any more than you would want to rub any other sort of blister. So, you know, you can just gently warm. If it really is frostbite, it's going to start hurting. That's the thing. So if it doesn't hurt, it's probably not frostbite, but be on the lookout for that pain as sensation comes and it starts to warm up. And if you do see blistering, then you want to treat it like any other burn injury. You don't want to pop the blisters. You do want to apply some antibiotic ointment, keep an eye on it. And if it looks severe, definitely bring it to a doctor's attention.
Winter sports, Dr. Hill, helmets or no helmets? I mean, the kids go sledding, and my kids must have gone sledding 6 times last week, and they don't wear helmets. Should they be wearing helmets? And where does that come in our winter sports? Skiing, I know they're requiring it a lot more.
Exactly, exactly. We just got back from a ski trip, everybody in helmets. My wife's dad is old school. He doesn't wear them, but I mean, we really recently saw a tragic injury, a skiing injury, in a race car driver who was wearing a helmet at the time, and that's probably the reason they survived the injury. But helmets definitely. And you know, we grew up in a generation, at least I did, where we didn't think about that kind of thing, right? We bicycled without helmets, we sledded without helmets, we also rode around in the back of the station wagon and lay down there. But the fact is, we're the survivors. Right? Where you tell us, it's fine, nothing happened to me. Yeah, that's because I'm alive to tell the story. I'm not brain damaged. But if you look at what impact these safety, they seem like impositions, but they're interventions, really, have had on subsequent generations, they are working. There are more survivors. There are fewer kids who are getting brain damaged or dying in tragic accidents because they are protected. So, yeah, you might look at it and say, well, that's kind of dorky, but surviving an accident that might otherwise be deadly or coming through an accident with, you know, a little bruise that might have otherwise caused a serious concussion, that's worth being a little dorky.
And people might not realize that you can get dehydrated in the cold weather just as you can in the hot weather if your kids are outside playing.
Oh, yeah. When you're exercising, you're breathing, you are sweating. So it is important to get kids back in regularly, make sure they've got something to drink. It can be warm, it can be cool, but you definitely want to hydrate them up. Another thing that people don't think about when it's cold, but is really important, if you're a skier, you know this, is sunscreen, right? Just because it's cold outside doesn't mean you're not going to get sunburned, and especially if you live in a place where it's snowing, you've got twice as much sun to deal with. You've got the sun that's coming in from the top, and then you've got all that light that's bouncing back off of the snow or the ice, so it's double the sun. So if you're sending your kids out there, which I encourage, lather them up with sunscreen about 30 minutes beforehand, just like you would if you're going to the beach, and reapply. Every 2 hours, the sunscreen does wear off and sweat off, and if you got a scarf or a mask, you know, it rubs right off, so you do have to reapply it regularly.
In the dryness of the winter, Dr. Hill, kids get really dry skin, and they get nosebleeds, you know, if they've been playing outside and it's so dry. What do we do about those?
For nosebleeds, we've got a couple of things that we try. We try humid air, right? Humidifier in the child's room overnight. I'd recommend a cool air humidifier so nobody gets an accidental steam burn. And then also you can get just a little petrolatum jelly or other moisturizer and put it on a Q-tip. I hate Q-tips in ears, but a Q-tip to apply a little bit of petrolatum jelly inside the nose is a great tool. Of course, a child could just use a pinky finger if they need to do that as well. But by moisturizing the inside of the nose, you should be able to cut down at least some on the nosebleeds.
Cold weather, does it cause colds and flu if they go outside and they're not dressed properly? Are they going to catch a cold?
Ah, this is the one thing that is not the problem with going out in cold weather. There are a number of hazards, but colds and flu, while they are significantly more common in the cold season, are not a direct result of cold exposure. So that is, yeah, tell your kids to put their hats on so they don't get frostbite or hypothermia, but you can't use the wear your hat or you get a cold. Medical science says, wrong.
Okay, and taking little babies out, Dr. Hill, in this cold weather, do you just not do it? Or, I mean, because you bundle those little guys up till the only thing showing are their tiny eyes, but is it worth it, really?
You know, I think you want to be cautious. It depends where you are. If you're in South Dakota and it's negative 64, you know, they have equipment for that. They've got strollers with covers on them and baby bundlers. I probably wouldn't go out for a big long walk. You know, if you live here in North Carolina and it's 33 degrees, look at the size of your baby, right? They're gaining a lot of mass. If it's a newborn who just came home from the hospital, yeah, really try and avoid cold exposure to the extent that's practical. If they're, you know, 11 and a half months old and they want to go explore the snow, you can do that for a while. But watch, and especially if you see them start to shiver, shivering is an early sign that hypothermia may be coming. And pay attention to that. You see those blue lips and that shivering? It is time to get in.
And if we notice blue lips in any age of our children, you bring them in, and what else should we do? You said use breath and such. Do we put them in a shower, a hot bath, wrap them in blankets? Give us a little, you know, 911 on this.
You know, usually just bundling, you know, give them a blanket, put them by the fire if you have one of those. Usually just being in a comfortable temperature will fix that up. You don't need to do anything extraordinary. Hypothermia is different. In hypothermia, kids appear pretty sick, and they may need emergency medical attention. They may need warming in an emergency room environment. But if you're just looking at a little blue lips and a little shivering, bring them in and do that parenting thing, you know, with the blanket and the warm cocoa.
It is such a nice time to do that parenting thing. So you want to make sure to keep your kids in layers and bundled up. You know, keep track of the weather. Look for symptoms of frostbite, you know, nosebleeds, any of these things. Keep them hydrated. Helmets for all. And it should all be great. Get them out. Don't let them just play video games all winter. This is Melanie Cole for Healthy Children and Radio MD. Stay well.